Welcome to First Turn, where we play board games for the first time and discuss our immediate reactions. It's like book club, but for board games. I'm Eric, and with me is Kiwi and BP.
Hello.
Hi.
Today we're going to be playing Mini Rails, designed by Mark Garretts of Steamrollers and Mini Express, developed by Afong and Desnet Amane. The artist is Scott Hartman of Aeon's End, At the Gates of Loyang, Luna, Wasteland Express Delivery Service, and Word Z. And Steve Z?
C?
Yeah. I think it's probably, C, right?
Yeah.
Published by Moa Ideas, is how I'm going to break it down. Game design. It's based Taiwan. And the original looks like it's co-published by Tasty Minstrel Games. The description is, it's the golden age of railroads. We're playing a train game? An age of, I hope it's not like an 18XX type train game because I wasn't prepared. An age of steel and paper. Is it a rolling rate?
No.
Okay. We're narrowing it down for our next section, BP.
Although the designer, Steamrollers, is a rolling rate.
Railroad tracks are sprouting up all over the country. Stock certificates are selling like hotcakes. You've already built your fortune, but now it's time to build something even more lasting, a reputation. Players are wealthy investors speculating on the fortunes of local railroad companies, each attempting to increase their wealth by manipulating stock prices. You will attempt to influence stock prices by directing where the tracks should be built and acquiring more shares to exploit the difference. Can you construct the most lucrative route with your, and outwit your friends on the volatile market, accumulate your wealth, and cement your place in history as the ultimate railroad tycoon? Mechanics are modular board, network, and route building, and stockholding. And then the box art is sort of a industrial-looking train, steam train. Yeah. And like the background looks like a very industrial factory or city kind of.
It almost reminds me.
Science fiction-y city, almost.
Yeah, like it's built up like a tower, but it looks like it's also kind of carved in stone or obviously steel or iron or something.
Oh, yeah.
It made me think of like, what's that very early film? Metropolis. Yeah, so it kind of reminds me of like Metropolis.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that.
Based on all this, would you pull it off of a shelf?
I don't know. Like, I'm a little hesitant to be like, oh, I'm all in. I mean, mostly because like I feel like there are tons of these types of games that are railroad games, you know, Raccoon Tycoon, we do love. So I'm just like, I don't know. Is it just like another one?
Yeah, I'm a bit worried about like Raccoon Tycoon without the whimsy. So it's just straight up stock market, industrial titan. I'm going to steal the money and be the rich guy. Yeah, probably not.
So I put this on the list. So I guess the answer would be is yes, I would put it on the, I would pick it up. Mm-hmm. The reason I put it on the list is because the other game that the designer did, Mini Express, just did a Kickstarter. And so there were a bunch of people posting about the Kickstarter. One of them was Tony Miller, who was like, oh, I loved Mini Rails. It was great. And he jumped on the Kickstarter so that he could get a copy of Mini Rails because he didn't have one.
Okay. So we're playing this because Tony Miller.
The 18XX games, like, Eric, I thought it was funny when you were like, oh man, are we playing an 18XX game? Like, I wasn't prepared for this.
I just like to hear about like the intensity of them and like,
yes, like the idea of an 18XX game. Like, I want to play one, but I'm scared of it, right?
Because wow,
like, they're these massive, they're like these crazy, just massive, crazy things with like buying stocks and trains. And like, there's games where like, you can upgrade and like buy new trains, or like you're buying stocks in other people's trains so that then you can like take over their train company from them. It's nuts.
I think I have heard of this game. So I guess it is like we should play like a train game at some point. So if this is a much, much lighter version, then it's probably a good one to try.
All right. Well, how do you guys think it's played?
I think it's going to play like a train game. We're going to have, we're going to build a company. I assume it's going to be centered around railroads.
Well,
I
know
like
some modular, of the other ones. Modular board. So that's kind of like the tile games, right?
Yeah. So we'll probably flip over tiles as we expand because it's network and route building,
right, and
which
route
is
building.
Normal.
Mm-hmm.
So like you're going to have a train company and you're going to build routes between cities.
So I feel like it's going to be a mix between Ticket to Ride and Raccoon Tycoon.
Yeah, I think you probably think of it that way. And then stock holding. So you're actually going to be able to buy stock into other people's companies and take them out. Well,
can you take them over and run them to the ground or like build their routes to nowhere so they don't make money?
You should be able to take it over if you're buying stock. If you buy more stock than the player who owns it, you should be able to. So I would imagine you can.
There you go. It's a mixture of the economic aspects of Raccoon Tycoon and Ticket to Ride.
Another game the company that does Raccoon Tycoon does is Railroad Rivals, which I played, which is a train game with stock buying. Well, I'm curious to see how they compare.
Did you like Railroad?
I didn't hate it. I would like to play it again with you guys just to see if how it compares within the group, I guess, to other games.
Okay.
So I didn't dislike it, but like, compared to Raccoon Tycoon, I wouldn't rush to go play it again. History of trains or tycoons.
Yeah. So, I mean, they are tightly linked together, as is probably kind of why this game is set up the way that it is. In U.S. history, right, we would call this period the Gilded Age, most specifically because of industries such as the railroad and then railroads, which accompanied some of the additional industries like steel, really would go on to make some men exceptionally rich, right? So Rockefeller, of course, being, you know, one of the big names from the period for oil investments. There's also Carnegie, who is best known for the steel industry. But when you look at both of them and how they used the railroads, the railroads definitely benefited their business practices. So, right, you have to transport oil, and Rockefeller was able to use his monopoly in the oil industry to bribe and manipulate railroad companies into driving out his competitors, whereas Carnegie just like owned railroad companies to take care of and eliminate middlemen. But specifically in railroads, too, there are two other characters who really monopolized. One, of course, Vanderbilt, who would go on to become known as the Commodore and really had built up his fortunes in owning some very prestigious railroad lines, specifically in the Northeast. And one name, I think I've brought him up before in history, is Jay Gould. And he just really represents one of those characters that especially newspapers hated because he played the stock market in railroads. And basically, he wasn't looking to really build successful railroads as far as like, you know, setting them up so that they went through places that made sense. He was just looking to manipulate the stock market and make as much money as possible. And there's just lots of scandals in how he made his money. You have all the characters you can try to play today. Jay Gould, who was kind of this figure that people loved to hate in the railroad stock market industry in the late 19th century. You've got Vanderbilt, who, I mean, right, his family built up how many mansions and made much of their wealth off of the railroad industry, or I mean, you could also pick up Carnegie and his huge amounts of wealth that apparently he then supposedly donated most of it upon his death, but still treated his workers like crap. And then, I mean, there's a whole workers section of that, but all just in the history section here.
Sorry, I had to look up why it was called the Commodore, so I missed most of that. Could you start at the beginning again?
Nope.
Why was he called the Commodore?
Steamboats. Okay, so the game lasts exactly 6 rounds. And after each round, after the last round, the player with the most money is the winner. So
just like real life,
just like real life, the player who most recently bought a train ticket will be the starting player.
I feel like, didn't we just do this one?
Yeah. Raccoon Tycoon, I think, is the most recent to have ridden a train. And I think we decided then that the metro is
a train, so you're still going to win.
I get to go first.
Yep, BP gets to go first. So at the beginning of the game, players are going to place their order markers on the order track from first to last, and then the reverse order from last to first. So essentially, the last player is going to get to go twice in a row, and the player who goes first will go at the beginning of the round and the end of the round. But it's going to change for each of the rounds. So each round consists of three phases, and every round, you're going to get two turns, and there are two actions that you can do. So in the draw phase, we're going to pull out of the bag a number of discs equal to 7 for our game. It's going to be different for every game, but essentially it will be 2 for every player and then an additional 1. So there will always be 1 disc left over at the end of the round. And we're going to put those on the market track. Then in the action phase, we're going to move left to right down the order track, and players are going to replace one of those market discs with their order marker. And then you're going to do one of two things with that marker disc. You always have to do the two during the round. So whatever you do the first turn, you do the other one the second turn. So one of those actions is going to be buying shares. So you just take that market disc and you put it on the zero space on your player board. So that is you buying a share of that particular company. Then your other option is you can build tracks. So you can take that market disc and you can place it on a hex adjacent to a space that has that color marker already on it. And then all the spaces on the map are marked with red dots or white dots. So if you place it on a spot with white dots, every player who has a share of that value is going to increase the value of their share by that many spaces. So if you place it on a spot with 2 white pips, everybody with that company will increase their shares by 2. If they place it on the red pips, that decreases the value of the share. And then if there aren't any valid locations, like that company has got boxed in by other companies, you just place it off the table next to their side, and it's -1 to their company shares. So those are the two actions. Like I said, you're going to always do both of them. It just, you get to decide whether you're going to build tracks first or buy stocks first. And then the very last disc is going to be placed on the taxation board. And that's also sort of a round tracker as we go forward. And then we're just going to rinse and repeat until we do that a total of 6 times. Okay, so once the 6 rounds are done, we're going to look at that taxation track. So there's 3 steps to scoring. So the first step is if a company has at least 1 disc of their color in the taxation track, every player is going to remove that color from the negative portion of their player board. Then if the company doesn't have a color in the taxation track, you're going to remove all the discs that are in the positive for that company. So then you're going to be left with your final discs, and then you're just going to add up the positives, remove the negatives, and whoever has the most points at the end is the winner. That is all the rules.
Let's play. And then we can go ding, 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 ding.
There are 2 very different noises going on there. We just finished a game of mini rails. To recap, Kiwi had a solid 8 stock points. I had 18 stock points, and BP won with 19 stock points.
Woo!
All right. So your brilliant strategy, BP. You can't say you didn't have one because.
Oh yeah, no. Like once we figured out how the game worked, wanted to make sure that I could thwart Kiwi at every turn. I mean, isn't that just the strategy in general when we play games?
I mean, it's yes. A safe one to start with.
I think the taxation became clutch. And making sure that those that you had were taxed, and then that you could hope that other people had them to try to drive them up. So it was definitely relying on other people to also have stocks in the same color, if you will.
Yeah, I did the same thing. Like, I was like, well, let me just grab these because they have them. And if they're going to boost them, I may as well get something from it. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you guys hit on it. I think just at the end, I probably should have gotten rid of that one yellow marker.
I got real excited when you didn't. Yeah. Keep calm, keep calm.
I think I was like, in my mind, like I was still thinking like, oh, Eric did stuff with gray in like the first round. So in my mind, I was like, I'm going gray.
Yeah.
And I should have gone yellow. And I don't know if BP still would have won because you guys both had the same yellow, but getting rid of it would have made my score at least a little bit closer.
Yeah. And you also were the only one with some negative ones. So,
yeah, I think it's important too, because there's seven. The board starts for three players. The board starts with three of every color. And then there's seven more in the bag. So it's one of those things where you sort of have to count too. Like, had I been smarter.
Yeah. Just like BP did.
Because, yeah.
Right. I was like, oh, wait, you can count cards? Huh?
Yeah. So there's nine green tile or discs on the board. And I had the 10th one, which means I wasn't going to get any. It was worth a lot, but I got nothing for it.
Right.
Because it didn't get taxed.
All right. Theme. Did you all feel like rail barons?
Yeah. I feel like the theme could have been. Like, I could see why people call it 18XX Lite, because it does have that stock market bit, but you really aren't a railroad tycoon, I think. You're more of like just a stock broker.
I forgot there were trains until BP went, oh, I get it. These are the rail routes, which was like three turns in.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I got the stock piece. I mean, yeah, it feels like you're upping value and watching what other people have and trying to tank theirs and stuff, which I guess is the it's not my stock market experience, is more of just hand it to a robot and see what happens. But
right.
So I guess that's what the stock market is like.
Yeah, I feel like maybe back in the day, I certainly hope. Well, I'm sure there are.
But this is definitely what Jay Gold would have done. Jay Gold would have definitely been on the kind of offensive and driving different stocks into the ground just to make sure his rivals did not benefit.
Which is why I think it's like tied to trains, because that's just the train era of the stock market.
Right.
Even though I'm sure there were other stock, because there was like steel and things, the same stuff was happening with. Yeah. So like the stock market piece is okay. Trains, I didn't really get, which kind of goes into art and components, like because they're just little circle disc tokens, like,
yeah,
maybe if they had been train tracks, that could have, like, a little wooden train track meeple type thing. I don't know if that would have been enough, but
isn't that how Ticket to Ride is? They have at least like little train pieces.
Yeah, well, I think they're just train cars.
Like, we weren't really building routes, we were just sort of, I mean, I guess it's a train, but like, to me, a route is like point A to point B, and we were just sort of placing them on hexes. So,
and we were placing them to increase or decrease the stock, so not necessarily to actually extend the road to a location.
So like the yellow one doesn't even look like it's just a mess of train. I guess it's a spiral train. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, you are trying to get the companies to go towards the middle because the middle was worth the most. So there is a way that you can route there that makes sense.
But like, to me, like, that's the thing, you focused on green to get to the middle, and then in taking green all the time, you didn't get any points for green because it didn't get taxed. So like, there's almost a disincentive to focus on doing a single route.
Well, I think you got to do a little bit of both, but I think I concentrated too much on trying to drive green up in the hope that it would get taxed. But there were times when I think both of you guys were just like, well, I don't want green to get taxed, so I guess the route's getting longer. I did like that they, like, the minus spots really fed into like what kind of spot you were going through. So like where it would be harder to build tracks, it ended up being lower. But on the actual, like, you can see it, like, you know, you get, it's minus points to go through farmland. It's, you know, positive points when you connect to a bigger city. It's negative points when you tried to build it through a mountain. So they tried to be like thematic with, you know, what would drive spots down and what wouldn't. And the tiles are double-sided and they come out randomly. So you kind of build a new map every time you play almost.
I mean, the art in the board itself, if we're already segueing into our, like, in the actual board, like, looking at it, I mean, it's nice. And it tries to lend itself, as Kiwi's trying to say, to the positive and negatives. But I think, again, and it comes with nice wooden components, I'm assuming, that the base game does, which, again, is really nice. And your player boards actually have railroads on them. But I think the discs, instead of just being discs, they needed to be something that then kind of tied that theme just a little bit closer instead of just discs, so that it seemed like you were actually, again, kind of like Ticket to Ride, where you at least have, you know, a train car. So it looked like you're building trains. You know, I think some of the hexagons could have, while some of them look like farmlands or whatnot, maybe they have tracks on the modular boards. I mean, I get that you might piece them together differently, but I mean, I feel like you could still, I don't know.
So I think it's interesting that you guys say that, because the next one up, Mini Express, is a little bit bigger. It adds a little bit more, but it actually does have train meeples.
Yeah, I think that it's a pretty obvious like improvement.
So that is in the next game.
Okay.
That's good. Mechanics, Kiwi.
So I think we touched on a little bit already talking about this, you know, driving the stocks up and down. Like, that's really the point of the game, and the route building isn't really route building. It's more, how do I drive the prices up or down, but also make sure that the discs end up at the end so that I can get these points. So I thought, as like a pure stock market game, which I feel like this game is, like, I felt everything. Like, once it clicked for you guys after the first round and you guys kind of understood it, I feel like it went real quick, because it's a relatively simple game.
It had a good flow to it, I think. Like, there was not much downtime.
Yeah. Especially with the way the orders get reorganized. You know, it could be, I feel like our turns ended up being very similar every round, with just a couple people shifting around. But that was just our playthrough. And I feel like you could have games where people are shifting around a ton. So it'd be interesting to play it a few more times to see if like the turns play out like that. Like, I was trying to get my order tokens closer together, because I feel like Eric got a couple like really good rounds, because he was able to go one after the other.
Yeah.
And drive the prices where he wanted them to go.
There were a couple of times I tried to put mine next to each other, because I thought that was like, I like that. I like being able to do that, because I could do two things and kind of, yeah, like you said, I didn't have to worry about somebody taking. I could buy one color. If there were two of the same color out, I could buy one and then up it immediately and didn't have to worry about somebody taking it in between. So,
yeah. So I like that as a mechanic for deciding order of play.
Yeah, that was good. I did point out like mid game that, unlike some games with sort of variable player order, usually the higher up in the order is a better piece and further back is a worse piece. Then you can't really do that in this one. It's just pure random. So, you know, sometimes like I was like, oh, I really want like the really good piece is the first one, which kind of sucks, because then they stay first player. And then like, you know, the worst one's in the back, so nobody's going to take it. Although there was advantage to being last, because you can kind of affect the taxation more. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I feel like even going first, like that might not necessarily, like, you know, you could end up staying first if that piece that you want always comes up first, but it doesn't. You know, maybe you go somewhere else in the route because you want to go in a different place. So I think that's how it just happened in our game, because of random stuff coming out of the bag.
Yeah. Rules, BP.
For some reason, there was just this big disconnect between what was going on and I was going first. And so then I was like, okay, well, I understand you want to do these things, but I didn't understand like how the turn orders actually worked, even though I'm sure Kiwi explained it very well. So I think there was that, once we sat down, we had all these questions because it had not clicked. And maybe that's part of us being, you know, kind of both Eric and I seem to be more kind of the hands-on visual type learners than just audio learners. But once we got it, I think especially for both of us, like, then it was real simple.
Yeah, I mean, I'd agree. I think the first round was a little bit like, wait, what? But after that.
And luckily, you guys let me go back and be like, oh, okay, now I get what I want to be doing and I want to redo what I had
done. It didn't like impact anything.
No.
I think it's fine. Like, I think we're usually pretty lenient in the first round of figuring it out, because we're learning. which I think is important. You know, if you teach games to new people, don't be a dick on the first round.
Right.
you might have more people playing with you.
Yeah, I mean, we saw it. The game is really simple. I think, you know, once we got it all worked out after that first round, like, there wasn't really questions after that. And the fact that we never had to go to the rule book for anything. I mean, the rule book itself is 8 pages, and that includes the cover and the back.
Mm.
So, and it has very good examples. Like, I think it's like 2.5, like two of those 6 pages of rules at that point are examples on scoring. Because it even had a thing like, hey, is it possible for everybody to be in the negative? And it's like, absolutely it is. Like, here's a in-game scoring example for everyone being in the negative. In the rulebook, he thanks like a bunch of people who designed 18XX games. So I think he really was going for a much lighter version of like the stock market portion of an 18XX game, which is one of the reasons why I wanted to try it, is because, you know, it was the portion of an 18XX game I wanted without the fear of like sitting for 8 hours, yeah, you know, buying different locomotives.
And also there's an advantage of like, there's so many 18XX games that they've sort of iterated to a point where they kind of have it down pretty well. And they just make kind of new tweaks here and there, I think. Again, we haven't played a lot of them, but I think that kind of helps with the, like, it felt really solid and it flowed well and things like that. Cause I think they've just tried and learned and sort of kind of, I don't want to say mastered the 18XX style, but, you know, there's enough of them out there that people kind of know what works and what doesn't, I think. Planner action was really good. Kind of like there were indirect pieces of like, I'm going to like watch what you're doing and try to prevent your stock because you too have the stock and sort of things like that. And then there's also a little bit of direct where like, I'm going to take the route you have and just put it on this negative one and drive it down. So it was a good mix. Like, it wasn't, I feel like it wasn't too take that-y, because you're not necessarily targeting a single other player. I mean, you could,
unless you're us. Yeah.
You kind of are, but it just doesn't feel like if you're not into take that, you wouldn't be like, I don't think you'd be offended by like that kind of play.
You might be more interested in how you're going to benefit your own stocks versus, I think we just naturally try to gang up on Kiwi because statistically the two of you usually win most of the games. And so I mean, I don't know if I'm competitive or not, but I definitely always try to beat Kiwi at stuff because
I don't know if I'm competitive, but I want to destroy my husband.
I think our kid is a little scared of our competitiveness sometimes.
Well, like in the take that terms, like, you know, Kiwi knocked down Gray and it was pretty easy for me to go, all right, I'll do something like I won't worry about Gray too much. You said you can just take the ones other people have, so they're less likely to tank yours directly. So,
yeah, I think that's I think when we were describing it up front, I think you make that good distinction in our kind of definitions that we have between indirect and direct. I think you definitely need to be paying attention to what other people are doing so you can make sure either, again, if you're not going to do a take that, that you're watching what's going to happen to your own components and stocks. So it's not one where you can check out and go shopping in between moves. It does, as you guys have already said, it flows, it played really quickly, which is nice. And so I guess I don't know much about what 18XX means at all, but if this is the light version, then it seems pretty fantastic because it did go quickly. It had that player interaction that keeps you engaged. You don't necessarily, it's not a cooperative, so it's not that necessarily point of we all need to be on the same page. But you don't want to check out at all because, I mean, I would almost guarantee if you check out of this game, you're not going to win.
Would you play it again, BP?
I mean, if someone else offered it, I mean, I'm not going to suggest Kiwi add it to the collection, no matter how small it is, unless he already has, which, I mean, is quite possible at this point. Is he laughing at me?
Oh, God.
I know, right? As if I don't know this man.
Back to Kickstarter.
But I mean, I'd play it. It is light enough. And I do like that kind of competitiveness that it offers me as a game player to be able to try to outmaneuver opponents without getting too complicated.
Kiwi.
I liked the lightness. like you guys have both said, like there is a little bit of take that, but you could be affecting more than just one player, and you could also be affecting yourself. Like in my case, mm-hmm. and yes, I did back the Mini Express Kickstarter. And then added this as a thing based solely off of Tony Miller's suggestion. So
no, oh, Tony Miller.
So I would play it again. Yes.
Well, you are lucky that you have someone to play it with.
I mean, the only down part is it is a three player game. So you can't go. So you have to have at least three players.
I'm like on the fence with this one. I think I'd like to try, like, I want to play Railroad Rivals with you guys. It's much, it's similar, but different, quite a bit different in terms of like how the train part works. But some of the mechanics are similar, which I'm guessing is just the style of game. Like I want to say I'd try other ones, but if this is the lightest one, I don't know. Like for me, the focus was on the stock part too much, which is meh. And I really like my favorite part of Railroad Tycoon, the video game, is like building your railroads out. And this just didn't do that enough for me. Mm-hmm. Like I like to feel like I've built a fun like railroad setup. So that was like the weakness for me in it. But like it was all right. Like I did enjoy the stock market piece enough. I just don't know if it's enough of a game like to make me come back to the game. But now I kind of want to do one that actually has like train route building. That's not like Ticket to Ride. Is Mini Express a lighter version of this?
No. So I think Mini Express is like a little bit higher than this.
Okay. So I might actually want to try it because if they boost the rail component of it, then that actually might be more up my alley.
Yeah, which they do, because there are resources that you can pick up. Mm-hmm. You are building train routes. So I just sent you guys a picture. You are building train routes between cities. The Kickstarter did do like one side of the map is the US and the other side is Europe. Mm. So you can play in different locations, but you are still kind of like you're placing routes, which increases stocks. You are buying stocks. So you're kind of doing the same things, but I think it fleshes it out a little bit and gets it a little bit closer to what you might expect from an 18XX game.
So that's mini rails.
So if you have any recommendations of games you would like to hear our impressions on, please send them our way. Or if you want to be a third player for Kiwi and I to play this one again, let us know. And you can do that via email at firstturntabletop@gmail.com. Or we can be found on Twitter or Instagram at firstturncast. And the podcasting camel says, please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcatchers. We look forward to hearing from you. That was my kind of Commodore Vanderbilt. All right, well, play more games.
Now I'm going to go in on blue because I feel like everyone else is going to buy it. So I may as well jump on that train. Get it? I pulled a BP.
Hold on. There's a Robot Hall of Fame in Pittsburgh.
Well done. I had 18.
Yeah!
BP is the winner.
Woo! Nice. This is my turn for talking.